We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
The latest rage for kids is driving entire neighborhoods crazy. It's called
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
That's like an alarm clock.
With Dusty Hera.
Well, you want to woo-woo?
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
It's that woo-woo.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
They think it's a fad. It's going to go away. It's not going away. It's driving me nuts.
The Fan.
A little bit of a surprise here. According to Richard Deitch, he does the sports TV ratings guy. CBS says the Masters overnight rating was a 7.7. That is down from last year's 8.7, up from 7.6 in 2016. Context, yesterday's final round started in the morning versus the afternoon. So less people watched it. We just got done saying how much all of us loved the fact that it was early.
Well, majority of golf people didn't even know it was on, probably. Because the tradition, yeah. Well, non-golf people don't turn it on because they know that usually the Masters ends around 4 o'clock.
Probably suffered more on the East Coast, too, right?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, so early. When they were actually getting going, it wasn't super early here, but it was super early on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It was,
wouldn't it be later on the East Coast?
The first tee time would have been 6.
It was super early here, later on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So what did their first tee time was somewhere time. Around 7? Was it 7:30 or 6:45 or something like that? It was really early.
East Coasters have no excuse. We have the excuse.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Well,
we still have a lot of people out here.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of golf fans, too. All right.
They just don't care as much.
Yes, that's true. Care more.
Mm-hmm.
April 15th is tax day and Russell Wilson deadline day. Russell and Jackie Robinson day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of days today, but Russell Wilson's deadline is here for the Seattle Seahawks and him to work out a new deal. Came to light a couple weeks ago. His agent, Mark Rogers, had gone to the Seahawks and said, all right, April 15th, that's the day. After that, we're going to be done talking contract extensions for the year. Since then, we've heard the rumblings that they're progressing, but slowly. Peter King, NBC Sports, wrote yesterday that it isn't possible that Russell Wilson is just done negotiating for the rest of this year. But he's saying if the contract is not done by tonight, it's not just that they're going to negotiate after the season. They may not negotiate again ever, period. And Russell Wilson will leave Seattle.
Well, he's probably going to be franchise tagged or I don't know what the Seahawks are going to do. I love the strategy because at some point in time in this sport, somebody's got to take the lead for whatever it is for the players. You know, as fans, you're not going to like this. Okay, you're not. I've seen this on Twitter. I've seen it from certain fan bases say the Seahawks are better without Russell Wilson. Well, that's what makes a fan a fan. A fanatic is somebody that is true to the core and they love their team. I can get that, but from... The only thing I can speak from as a former player's perspective is that it is enough's enough for the owners. The billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that the owners are hoarding onto and not allowing more of these players to have this is also, they've sold you under these statistics that if a quarterback is paid, you can't compete. That's not true. It's not true. You're going to continue to look at that stat and you're going to go 1-2. The best teams are the best teams with the greatest history, but they also have the best coaches, and they have very good players that are high-paid players. But overarching in the history of the sport, football is built upon making sure everybody can compete. It's just built that way. So those of you that think that if Russell Wilson gets paid that the Seahawks are never going to compete again, you're insane.
Well, here's one of the big problems, though, is that a lot of these deals, which as quarterbacks get their money, and then they restructure to open up cap money, is based on the fact that a big contract now won't be one in 5 years. No. You know? And that's the way we look at it. This is a little bit of alarming piece from the Peter King article, and Bob Condotta has this as well. It says that Russell Wilson and maybe the apprehension from Seattle is that Russell Wilson's asking for a cap percentage, not $25 million a year. He wants he may be asking for a percentage of their salary cap, which then it starts becoming a problem with how do you build a roster if that number is never looking
draft better.
Better.
Draft better.
Okay, name a team who's like done that though and won the Super Bowl.
The Seahawks. Okay, I will name the first team.
They drafted the quarterback who they weren't paying.
But they also drafted the entire secondary who they didn't pay also.
But I'm talking about if you have that.
I mean, the exact example of how you put the blueprint together is the Seattle Seahawks with Pete Carroll and what they did. They drafted everybody and they hit a home run with a guy. Home run.
And they didn't have to pay him.
Understandable. But when you hit a home run and that guy wins you a championship along with the rest of the team and then also gets you to another championship, which, by the way, you took the ball out of the wrong guy's hands. That's not on Russell Wilson. Okay. And to begin this, you're not going to sell me the fact that somebody in his prime is a bad decision to not pay him and compensate this guy.
But I'm just saying the percentage of the cap is a big one when you have to get the other guys on there. And that may be what has John Schneider apprehensive, but it may not be the $35 million.
See, here's the difference of that mindset is, again, this is the mindset of what the owners and the league has done to not just you, everyone out there. The league, trust me on this, the league can afford to bump up the salary cap by $100 million and it wouldn't even flinch.
Well, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. It would
not even flinch. The league and the owners have decided to keep it like this because they want you and they want the players to not have any leverage. If we ever get to the point where basketball, just like the NBA, you can give a little bit more leverage to the players, you will get a better game. You will, because dollar figures do not change how much these players want to compete. Now, some of them get to the point where the elites are the elites, but the guys that make the majority of money, okay, there's 7 to 6 guys on the team. Those guys are always going to show up. It's the ones at the rest of the roster that you need to bring up and be able to pay and consistently. If we bumped it up to 250 and 270, the league wouldn't even flinch. It would not financially even flinch. But they've convinced you that it's just too much. We can't pay them.
Well, no, yeah. And that's not what I'm arguing. I wholeheartedly agree. They should get a bigger chunk of that pie. Absolutely they should. But, I mean, there's this element of, if you're paying a quarterback over 13% of
then
your
salary cap,
that's
a league problem.
Since 94,
that's a league
when
problem.
The salary cap started,
yep.
Steve Young was the first to do it, and he's the only one since then to make over 13.5% of your salary cap and win a Super Bowl.
That's why in the next negotiations, there needs to be something, but somebody has to, and I think this is part of the agents getting together with the players, saying we need to change history. Mm-hmm. Because Gene Upshaw did it in 93 when they got the new bargaining agreement. And they created free agency. Free agency changed football. Maybe the percentage of cap. We need to see a change. Because football is just one of those evolving sports. It's the most popular sport. Players have the most leverage they've ever had right now by getting guaranteed money. Change will happen.
Yeah.
But this could be one of those contract league-defining types of things where you start asking for a percentage.
Boy, this is going to be a tough negotiation with the Seahawks. And like with all of this being said and all of these reports that are coming out, if Russell Wilson wants a percentage of the salary cap, not just a base salary, that's one thing. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is reporting Mark Rogers, Wilson's agent, has been in Seattle, continues to be in Seattle. He's been there the last 3 days negotiating this. Mm-hmm. You know, you read between the lines here, it kind of sounds like Mark Rogers, like they're working on something, but Mark Rogers is talking to Peter King and maybe Ian Rappaport saying, let's get us to the finish line. Let's ramp this up and say we may not ever negotiate again and get that sense of urgency up there for Russell Wilson. Or it could be he really doesn't. Colin Cowherd could have been right, and he doesn't want to be in Seattle anymore after this year.
Well, we don't know.
We have no idea. We have no idea.
All I do know is that it's pretty cool to watch a player have the kind of leverage that he has right now. See how he's not holding that franchise hostage at all. He just gave a simple deadline and said, here's what we do. You can franchise tag me. That's fine. Do whatever you need to do. You guys and owners, you've created this. You want to franchise tag me? Fine. Tag me once. It's going to be what? A big percentage. again. You franchise tag me again. It's going to be close to $50 million.
Yeah. And for Seahawks fans that are out there, that's one thing to kind of note in this. It's like the negotiations may not ever happen again. Russell Wilson will be a Seahawk, and his team is preparing to be a Seahawk through the 2020 season.
Yep.
So because they're expecting after next year a franchise tag.
Yeah.
And then that second one, as you said, is a massive, massive number.
Huge.
So I don't know. Today is the day. They're saying tonight at midnight, if Russell Wilson does not have a contract, Peter King is saying it may be the last deal he ever has as a Seahawk is the franchise tag after next season. And then he walks. Or then we really heat up. Do the Seahawks trade him? Do they trade him at that point? If you're sitting there and Russell, the ultimatum is true, are you trading Russell Wilson?
No.
Then you're going to get nothing for him.
I'm not a general manager. Look, I'm not a general manager. I'm certainly not an owner, and I'm not sitting in there with Pete Carroll and John Schneider. I would never trade a Hall of Fame quarterback in his prime, ever, unless he was beyond a detriment to the locker room. Finance for over money, not going to happen. I know this is a business, but the NFL prints money. You're never going to trade a Hall of Fame prime quarterback.
Even if you know he's not going to, he has zero intention of coming back. And if that's the thing.
But would Russell Wilson look them dead in the eye and said, I have no intention to come back? Then I would trade him. Yeah.
That's different.
He's never said that.
The Peter King is, it's not just that he won't negotiate until after the season, but they won't negotiate ever again.
Well, good for Peter King because I respect him, but that's not come out of Russell Wilson.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying if this is this, we're going off of what Peter King is sitting here saying sources have told him they're not going to go negotiate again. If that is what has been said, then you're in a trade realm. If you're going, all right, this guy's not going to doesn't want to negotiate with us anymore, then okay.
Yeah.
That would be that's a real possibility if
Peter
King's guy is true.
If you're going to hold your team to the fire eventually and you don't make good on this, because the Seahawks have not been good at their negotiations with their star players, name a good negotiation other than Wilson's last contract. Everything else has been very, very difficult for them.
Yeah. The Max Unger one, then they traded him. Right?
Yeah.
Didn't they? It was a pretty seamless one. Then they sent him to New Orleans for Jimmy Graham, right?
Yeah, I mean they've been very quiet with Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner's been good. I mean KJ Wright, but those guys aren't. They're not ones that scream, "Look at me!" and then all the attention. Well, they don't. Cam Chancellor, big problem.
Well, maybe that's why.
Earl Thomas, big problem. Richard Sherman, they gave him the money, but then they got him out because he was a detriment. I mean Michael Bennett, Marshawn Lynch, all these guys, they just are like, oh, we love big personalities. Maybe we don't.
Well, Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright are stars of that defense, but they're not vocal. And that's why maybe it's if you're vocal, boom.
Quarterbacks,
we don't want you here.
Quarterbacks win in this league.
Yeah.
You won't win without one. Done deal.
That is a 100% fact. No team has ever won a Super Bowl without a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Got to have them. All right, 55305, the Better You Today text line. We'll keep you updated if anything new with Russell Wilson comes down. Tiger Woods' comeback, is it the best ever? 813 on the Fan. Tiger Woods did it again. Not just his 15th major championship and fifth green jacket. Tiger Woods did it after back injuries, barely being able to walk, the missteps in his personal life as well, and mishaps in his personal life as well. And there was no sweeter moment than when he was walking up 18. And it's a big moment when Jim Nantz and Nick Faldo are starting to choke up on the air.
I never thought we'd see anything that could rival the hug with his father in 1997, but we just did.
That will be the greatest scene in golf forever, Jim Nantz.
And that hug with his children, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, if you're a parent, you're not human.
No, the whole euphoria of everything, the patrons, his emotion, the chanting. We will never see anything as exhilarating as that. Fantastic. Congratulations, Tiger. Unbelievable.
The incredible part about that roar that you're hearing behind him, that's 5 minutes after his putt went down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think of how crazy those people were going. That's 5 minutes after the putt was sent.
Yeah, moving the needle. That's somebody that moves the needle like we've never seen in sports. And this is a legitimate question. Is Tiger Woods the greatest sports athlete we've ever seen? Ever. Transcends it all. From Michael Jordan to Pele to from Wayne Gretzky. This is, if it's football, it's, who is it in football?
I mean, Tom Brady. No, Tom doesn't hold a candle. I love Tom. He's no Jordan, Gretzky, Ali.
Well, he's the greatest quarterback that's ever played, and we revel in what he's able to do and winning a Super Bowl. But Tiger changed a brand.
Yeah.
No, I think he is. I can argue against it, and I can think about what the most influential people in sports, but he is. I mean, I think he's worth just a shade under $1 billion. I saw his net worth. It's $800 million. He lost tons of sponsors, but Nike was the only one that stayed with him. Everybody else jumped ship. Watch who's back on. Tag Heuer. Everybody just, I want Tiger back again. Some brands don't want a part of it.
He's got a Monster Energy bag.
Yeah.
Now.
You know? Cares. Doesn't matter. I truthfully believe he is the greatest athlete we've ever seen when it comes to marketing, star power, sports. Just knowing there isn't anybody that I think that is a non-golf. When non-golf fans know who you are, that's when I know that you've covered it. You've run the gambit. When somebody that walks down the street goes, can you name a golfer that played in the Masters? And someone goes, well, Tiger played. Can you name anybody else? No, I don't even know any other golfers. Just because that's what he means.
There, I think if you're looking at it as far as dominance on the playing field and the iconic status that surrounds you, you're talking two guys, Tiger and Jordan.
Because I think he's bigger than Michael Jordan.
The Jordan brand is global. It's universal. That in itself is a $1 billion arm of Nike. Yeah. Like, it is a $1 billion arm of Nike. And make no bones about
it. But basketball was around before that. Golf was created by Nike just for this one guy.
Well, Nike Golf, yeah. Nike Golf was created just to have Tiger.
The two greatest things Phil Knight ever did was create a Jordan brand and sign Tiger Woods.
And that also is it's a marketing machine. Nike used the same machine that they built up Jordan to be this iconic brand. But if you're talking in individual sports, you are looking at guys like Tiger and Muhammad Ali probably are two when you talk about iconic, dominant in their meaning off of their realm.
This text says, better you today. Text line says, work at Nike. Tiger's arm is just as big as Jordan's brand.
Hmm.
And then this other one says, you couldn't be more wrong. Well, it's just an opinion. I could be wrong or right. Just going from my perspective for living through the era, because I'm the same age as Tiger, and I can speak to it only because from my experience, I've never had another athlete move the needle like this. I mean, other than Jordan. And it's an A and B. It's very close. But the thing is Michael Jordan did it for, 17 years? No, 16 years? Tiger Woods has been doing it for like 30 years.
Yeah, 24 years when first people heard Tiger's name.
Started doing it in 1993. I mean, it's incredible.
That is, no bones about it. And this is like the amazing thing about it is that this conversation is about, is Tiger Woods the greatest athlete of all time? I don't think you have a wrong answer.
No.
When you're talking, is it Jordan? Is it Ollie? Is it Tiger? You know, because all of them kind of stand on their own. In the text line, the Better You Today text line, 55305, to support Cam, Tiger moved the needle when he sucked, not just when he was good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tournaments created, they created sponsor exemptions and pay guys to show up at because of Tiger Woods. Just for the fact that Tiger would be paid to show up. You said to write checks to get into the tournament. Now they were paying you to show up.
Well, and there's networks that are like showing whether Tiger's going to make the cut amidst his personal injury comeback and all that. And, he's hovering somewhere around 30th or 40th in like a field of 80. Yeah.
Showing
and
every shot.
We're not seeing anybody in the top 10 because it's like, is he going to make it? Is he not? Yeah. And I mean, that's when you're talking about You know, it's like a guy flirting with the Mendoza line in baseball. You'd never have that kind of coverage on one player like that.
I would argue right now, as we sit in this world currently, Tiger Woods, there is nobody that, from think about a guy that everybody knows in every country around the globe, Tiger Woods is the most recognizable athlete in the world when it comes to just this game. But I think it's in all sports. Like golf is everywhere. I mean, it's in every country. There's guys from all over. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people don't. I mean, they might not know who Steph Curry is, and some do, but they know who Tiger is.
Yes, they do. They absolutely 100% know who Tiger is. And you know, the amazing part about this is that we sit there and we're talking about these guys, and you can use your justification for each one of the people that you're talking about. Like the Jordan defenders will come in and say, Michael Jordan made $33 million to play in 1997. Mm-hmm. You know, he would have been the highest paid player in the NBA every single season until last year. Now that guys are getting $40 million. Like yeah. He changed the way you pay players in Supermax deals. And then you have guys like Tiger Woods. Golfers used to not make any peanuts. They're all millionaires now.
Yeah, because
and they all thank Tiger.
Yeah, of course they should. And you know, they all hung out. All the guys, it was so cool to watch all the guys that stuck around and gave him five and were there, from Bubba. You got to see Zach Johnson. Everybody was just standing around. And they're not paying homage to him. They know how awesome it was to be part of that. They do.
Yeah. It is awesome. Like this, Christian, Tiger turns everyone into a golf fan for a couple Sundays every year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's when you talk about this in baseball. Who do you stop and watch?
No.
Who do you stop and watch? Everybody stops and watches Tiger.
Well, I'm thinking even outside of sports, who are the transcendent figures just in life or in the public eye? Mm-hmm. How many people could just make you stop and kind of change your routine on a weekend?
Well, there's LeBron when he's there.
Currently active right now?
Yeah. I mean, whether it's performing artists.
Globally?
Or,
we're talking globally. Yeah. There isn't anybody.
And this is why in football, you sit there and you go, like, people that are exciting to watch, Odell Beckham, but you don't stop and just watch the wide receiver by himself. Like, that's why Brady isn't a part of this conversation. Like, if you're telling me it's a one-score game and 2 minutes to go, yeah, you're definitely stopping to go and watch that and watch him manning those types of guys. But that's why we all sat down and we watched, like, 3 hours.
You planned
yesterday.
Your Sunday around it.
Yeah.
How many other athletes are you doing that for? How many other people are you doing that for?
There isn't one.
Right.
There
not
isn't.
Right now.
We could try to rack our brains around it and try to come up with some conversation, but it's not even in the percentage closeness to anybody, maybe like whoever's the biggest star in soccer, you know, Ronaldo. And Messi, he doesn't hold a candle to Tiger. I'm sorry. He doesn't.
Global popularity, but not in the States for sure.
We have to use our country as arrogant as this sounds, but the United States runs the roost when it comes to sports. I mean, mm-hmm. We control the world's sports consumption. It's just how it works. It's unfortunate to say, but we do.
I'm 35 years old, and I'm a basketball and football fan. I watched the Masters for the first time yesterday. One reason and one reason only. Did you watch the legend come from behind and win?
Yeah.
And that was it.
That's it.
It happened yesterday.
The casual fan.
55305. Good conversation about this. And Tiger Woods is the brand in sports right now. And yesterday, how awesome it was to watch him operate. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. It was awesome to see Tiger Woods win again yesterday, and we're talking, like, the conversation about Tiger's comeback. Is this one of the greatest comebacks in sports? You bring up an interesting question that I think we look at, and you go, the comeback may be it, and Ben Hogan's comeback is pretty good. I mean, he was kind of left for dead, and he ended up winning majors.
Well, he isn't left for dead. He's got in a bad car accident.
He was in the hospital for 2 months.
Yeah.
And could barely walk.
Yeah.
And won the U.S. Open, was it? Right after that, his first tournament back was the U.S. Open.
Pretty sure it was
at
Congressional, if I'm correct.
And like that is an amazing comeback. But the comeback of Tiger Woods is so much more than just an injury, just more than his back fusions. it is an entire game field of golfers elevated their game because of him. We're chasing him, and he had to reinvent himself with a new back, with diminished power. And then his personal life took a nosedive too. His image took a nosedive, and he came back from that, which led you to, is he just the greatest athlete we've seen?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the iconic status of it. It's not just wins and losses. It's more with Tiger Woods.
Well, it's a simple yes or no question for you guys.
No.
And for anybody. I can't see the text line, so you, I have no computer, so I can't read what anybody thinks. You say no. Ryan, what is your thought? Immediately? I mean, if you just put it in perspective and think through that, I know it's a difficult question, but shouldn't it be pretty easy when you see the way he moved it on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't think there is anyone else who does that. You know, I think he is alone in his own league. I mean, Dusty's mentioned a couple times, I am a known Tiger hater. I'm not, that doesn't make me not enjoy what happened yesterday. I love great stories. I love great theater, like great drama. That was incredible watching that. I mean, I wasn't rooting for it to happen, but you can't deny that he has a power over everybody watching, over everybody participating that no other athlete has right now, I don't think.
Oh, right now? There's no question.
And maybe ever. I mean, just because of
Jordan's return. Jordan's return. And then Jordan, even when he wore 45 and it was horrible for the Wizards, people still were, you had to watch Michael Jordan. And when that's your only competition.
And like, I remember the home run chase was appointment TV, but those were two guys chasing a record. That wasn't one person doing his own thing, you know, commanding a viewership, an audience.
He's just done something. And I know we love watching it because I said it earlier in the show. There's something about doing it at Augusta when there was no social media, there was no phones, there was no cameras everywhere. People standing around, there was nobody yelling, get in the hole. Mm-hmm. It was just roars, excitement. And from everybody, because originally I always thought this, I said, okay, all these guys aren't scared of him anymore. They don't. He doesn't carry that same weight.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the same power that he does. But all he did was watch everybody, not to melt down, they just succumbed to the pressure.
They folded next to him.
Wait, I don't know if you folded. They didn't hand the tournament to him. He still had to win it. Brooks Koepka couldn't make the putt. The guys couldn't make the putts. They hit it in the water. That's not folding. That's just part of the pressure of Augusta and the back nine on Sunday. And he found a way, Tiger found a way to stripe his drive and hit an 8-iron on 16.
Well, but then when Tiger gets that groundswell of support and when everybody on the grounds knows that he's chasing it, then it affects how everyone else has to play. There are guys who have to step away and step back and come off of their shots because they're waiting for him to hit his drive or they're waiting for him to take his putt. I mean, Koepka was ahead of him. And he knew what Tiger was doing after that tee shot on 16. Koepka had to wait to tee off on 17 for Tiger's putt on 16.
Like, yeah, Schauffele, even we played the audio earlier. Schauffele was like, yeah, no, I can't do it. I knew it was done. This text is a good one, though. Jordan's brand has transcended into other sports, including golf, like where you have the Jumpman golf shoes. You have football, race car, baseball, all wearing the
Tiger. But that's because of Tiger.
What?
That's because
of the
Tiger.
Jordan brand.
The Jordan brand has transcended into other sports.
No,
not
I know
just
that.
Golf.
That's because of Tiger.
No. He's what? No.
No. Maybe you're not hearing what I'm saying. Is that because Tiger made golf cool? Michael Jordan decided, like, hey, by the way, let's make sure that we put my stuff into golf. Because if Tiger wasn't around, you wouldn't see Jordan brand in golf. Now he loved golf. But suddenly guys started wearing tight pants and they started doing all this crazy stuff.
Well, no,
and then
I was
the
talking
colors.
About football and race car drive, NASCAR. What's the guy who
Denny
Hamlin, is that who just won the Daytona 500? Where is that jump? Is a Jumpman logoed racing suit?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Because if golf wasn't, Tiger made golf cool. Jordan makes everything very cool. I mean, just the way his brand works.
Yeah.
But without Tiger, there is no Jordan brand in golf. There just isn't. You don't have that kind of
kind
of connection.
I'm not saying that at all. Yeah. I'm not saying that at all. But you never see a football player wearing Tiger cleats, you know, or his receiver gloves are Tiger brand, you know, like Stanford wears a swoosh, not a Tiger Woods logo on it.
Yeah.
Like Jordan is Jumpman logo on UNC, Michigan, Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I know. I'm not want to split hairs with it, but that's just, they're 1A and 1B. You can flip a coin with it.
Yeah. And Tiger, This one says, Tiger changed the whole culture for golf, made it cool, made it fun.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, 100%. And P1 Raymond says, I'm sorry, Dusty, but I never felt any need to watch Jordan play unless he was playing the Blazers.
That's fair.
I always wanted to watch Jordan play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I think it did. Michael Jordan create casual basketball people or basketball watchers? Probably a little bit. But there is a culture that Tiger brought, an entire African-American culture into the game that they never, you look at it from everybody, from different worlds, different parts. When I say different worlds, it's not like aliens came in and started watching Tiger play golf.
That guy from Mars was really
but
good.
But there
yesterday.
Were a lot of great transcendent golfers. But if you think about an entire livelihood of people just said, hey, man, this golf thing, let's watch this. And it injected revenue and television and eyes and all of that. It's just, I mean, that's probably the most amazing part about what he was able to do.
This is one for both of us here. Saying Tiger's bigger than Ronaldo is crazy. In the USA, sure, but worldwide, not close.
No, I disagree with that, but that's fine.
I do too, but whatever.
Yeah, it's potato.
Is what it is.
Nobody, you may like Ronaldo in the United States, but we're the center of the world when it comes to sports. We are. That's what it is. Unless you move the needle in this country, it's selfish enough, but nobody talks about watching soccer like they do watching stars here in the United States.
Deal. Space Jam. Game. Jordan. this is a good text, though. Think of this. And this person may be young, but how lucky are we to live through MJ, Tiger, Federer, LeBron, Brady?
Oh, it's so awesome.
Like, if we go back and we're talking about our childhoods, and I got Montana and Young and Magic and Bird that are in there as well.
It's a great era. 80s through this stretch. Can you imagine? I don't know. Does it get any better? When's the next one going to be born? Are we lucky? Maybe?
It's LeBron's kid. Wait, what? No, it's not LeBron's game.
We're not going to see another Tiger in my lifetime. Maybe we see somebody that comes along. We always do. There's going to be something. I don't know if we ever do. I don't know.
If we, because everybody, if we all become prisoners in my lifetime, of our moment,
no way.
Though. Prisoners of our moment. There's guys that are older than you that are like, Jack and Arnie's the best this sport's ever going to get. And then boom. But it could be like boxing where we're like, hey, Ali, when's the next Muhammad Ali going to happen? And it just never
happens.
Still
waiting.
Still waiting for the next Muhammad Ali. Like, we've had Mike Tyson. We've had Lennox Lewis. We've had, there's no Muhammad. Evander Holyfield, there's no Muhammad Ali. Those guys aren't Ali.
No.
And
I think it's okay to say that, too. It's actually all right to say we never will.
Yeah.
Because at this point in time, where we sit, Tiger is it.
The Blazers get a win in game one. Game two could be a different story. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Good morning. If you didn't feel something special and have a moment where you said to yourself, that's why we love sports yesterday, watching Tiger Woods win the Masters in his 15th major championship, the first one since 2008, one, you might not have a soul. Or two, you may have just been waiting for the Blazer game. Because the Blazers made a lot of people feel like that yesterday.
Yeah.
Snapping the streak. 1,072 days after the last playoff win for the Blazers, it came in game one against the Thunder. 104-99, and Enes Kanter seems to be the story out of that win. He goes 20-18, joins LaMarcus Aldridge and Bill Walton as the only Blazers ever to have a 20-18 game.
I give my golf class to whatever it was. I think Enes Kanter gave a shout out to Neil O'Shea and said, thanks for bringing me here. But also willingness for Enes Kanter to want to be part of this team and this organization. I mean, I'm sure he had other offers.
Yes, he did. Well, Lakers. The Lakers were. Yeah. He was down to like the Lakers and the Blazers, apparently.
And wanted to be part of this culture and whatever it is. And thank you for him being here because nobody knew that Nurk was going to go through his injury.
Yeah, when that happened. Oh my gosh! I think everybody had that collective. But he served admirably. The pick and roll will be an issue throughout the game. I mean, Steven Adams ate at the rim early in that game. He had 17 points on 8 of 14 shooting, a lot of them at the rim. And that will be something the Blazers have to have a counter for pick and roll, defending Russell Westbrook at the rim, because as good as Harkless and Aminu were in trying to contain Westbrook and Paul George, those guys got some pretty good looks at the rim, and they just weren't hitting from three. And that game is different if Oklahoma City hits from three. They were 5 of 33. That's 15% from beyond the arc. That's not sustainable for a seven-game series. Them shooting that bad.
Right.
Won't happen. Blazers need to take away the easier looks off the pick and roll and get Paul George kind of slithering his way through. And that's going to be the toughest thing that the Blazers have to figure out for game two, which is tomorrow night. You mentioned the shout out that Cantor gave to Neil Olshey. There was this shout out that was making the rounds on social media from Enes Kanter. He is a playoff guy. This goes back to his New York Knicks days.
When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
That's an aggressive one.
No, it's not aggressive.
So that just tells you he's a playoff guy. 2018, come to expect it.
Well, he's 26 years old. He's playing kind of like a savvy veteran. And I know he's kind of in his prime. That's what we all look at, guys. I mean, Dame's in his prime. CJ's getting there. He's definitely in his prime, too. So all these guys are, over usage of the word, they're in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his over his prime feels a little bit. Look a little sore out there. Look a little physical. Look a little beat up. Is Westbrook, man. If you're going to tell me that the Blazers decided to make Westbrook win the game by shooting outside, he is the most unkind. He and there's only a couple shooters that I can't watch. Him shooting a three-pointer, it's uncomfortable. It looks uncomfortable.
I love
like
watching
Like he doesn't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he doesn't.
That and Mason Plumlee are the two guys that I really struggle watch shooting.
Really?
Yeah, because Mason just looks like he doesn't know what it's going to do.
Well, the entire Nuggets team had a terrible night or day shooting in game one as well. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the story of game ones across the NBA, and Portland was a big beneficiary of it.
How about this?
Thunder just sucked.
How about this? Did you like the pan shots from the camera and ESPN showing the Curry family in Blazer gear here to support their son?
It wasn't just the Curry family. It was uncomfortably long stretch of the game talking about them. Was that in the third quarter that happened?
Yeah, I saw that I was watching the streaming app. I was trying to go back and forth, and I'm like, wait a minute. I've never seen that.
Well, there was the fun moment where they mistook Curry's fiance for his sister. That was nice.
Well, way to go,
ESPN.
She kind of looks like his mom, but she's hot.
So Jeff Van Gundy said that, and then Mark Jackson goes, you know, Jeff, we don't all look alike.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually dropped it on him.
That's wonderful, Mark Jackson. Thank you.
That is hilarious.
Van Gundy deserved that.
But then they broke down Del Curry eating popcorn.
Yeah, they did.
That went on a little long. Stop.
Did you get a little offended by that as a Golden State Warrior going, how dare they steal the Curry family from us? Because that was part of the Golden State
thing. That's okay, guys. You can have a little taste.
You can have a cute little taste of it.
It's not like we have Aisha up there or the kids, you know, the Curry kids who became famous.
I mean, that's pretty cool. Mom and dad in town, awesome. Sitting there and watch their son play.
And in your face, Steph, because I don't know, you only have like four championships.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, we'll get down to Golden State
eventually.
Later. Oh.
Get on our plane.
Okay.
And down there.
Yeah. You mean because you know one son will make it past the first round with no problem whatsoever, and the other one's going to have to scratch and claw and fight his way out?
Here's the bigger question. Who hosts when they come to town? Do they sleep over at Steph's house? Do they sleep over at Seth's house? Or do they get their own hotel? Do you think the family sleeps over? That's a big question here.
Ooh.
It's very important.
Maybe
especially when you have famous parents.
Yeah. Do the parents sleep over in the guest room?
And what does the size of that traveling crew look like?
Yeah. Is there an entourage with you?
It's a family.
You got to sleep over. You got to wake up, have coffee and breakfast, and you have waffles and peanut butter.
Well,
on
no. I learned yesterday all Dell eats is popcorn, so that's all they eat. No coffee, no breakfast. It's popcorn all day long. Okay. My God.
That sounds awful.
It does. Hey, but their son played well.
Did.
Seth.
Hang out, Curry family, the entire series. Let's go.
Points. They're going to need more from him offensively, more from Rodney Hood offensively as well. They got 13 points out of those two guys.
Well, when Dame and CJ both take 21 and 24 shots, there's none of balls to go around.
Welcome to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I thought had a productive day, and it was really good to see him on the floor with Dame and CJ. Evan Turner.
Yeah, he played good defense.
Evan was good, really good defense. Bringing the ball up and allowing CJ to play off the ball with Seth in the game and – allowing Dame to play off the ball. I loved it, and that's what you're going to need. And the creativity is going to be interesting. Game one to game two, what is the adjustment for Portland? Because Oklahoma City played terribly offensively. They shot 15% from three again. They lost by five. That game was far closer than it probably should have been because Oklahoma City's damn good. We knew they were damn good when this series
Not if they're not healthy. And those two guys did not look healthy at the end of the game.
And that may be the brightest spot that Portland has. Westbrook with that right ankle, both of Paul George's shoulders.
You can't put enough tape, the magic tape, on to make that pain go away.
Yeah, how do you like that? We played the audio of Paul George's comment earlier about his shoulder felt fine. I haven't shot since the Houston game. That was his second to last game of the regular season.
Yeah.
He couldn't lift his arm above his head. But he's like, yeah, no, it wasn't. It's not fine. What kind of needle do you think they shoved in that shoulder?
Whatever they did to get him ready. Notice how he said, I love our training staff. Got me ready to play. That's what you do. I mean, this is the playoffs. You got to play. You got to play hurt. Everybody's hurt. It's time to go.
That's right. All right, up next is the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague. 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday. We'll preview Game 2, Blazers and Thunder. There's playoff action coming up today as well. And Jackie Robinson Day, first pitch of Red Sox and Orioles has already happened. It was an 8:05 first pitch a.m. It's Jackie Robinson Day. Day games all day long. We got baseball. Let's go. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday right here on the Fan. Do your taxes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.